to the Middle East now, where there are at least two electrifying stories. We begin with Anthony Shadid, Beirut bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning.
Give me a sense of where everybody's television is tuned to in Beirut, certainly in Cairo and throughout Egypt. Is it the Mubarak trial?
Well, I think it's turned in a lot of different directions. People are looking at Libya this morning. Of course, Egypt, where President Mubarak went on trial again, the second session in the court proceedings against him. And, of course, Syria to Lebanon's east, where the where Syrian security forces and the military attacked yet another city in what's shaping up to be a very strong crackdown on a remarkably resilient uprising that began back in March.
We're talking with Anthony Shadid, Beirut bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. As the images out of Cairo and Libya tell one story, the disturbing images out of Syria tell another. The city at the center of the fighting today is Latakia. I'm wondering if you could distinguish Latakia from some of the other cities we've talked about, Deir al-Zour, for instance.
Well, I think what's kind of important to remember in Syria right now is that Ramadan, the Muslim holy month in which the observant fasts from dawn to dusk, was a lot of people were expecting it to be kind of a decisive moment in the Syrian uprising, that protests would gather momentum, that more people would be in the streets. What we've seen instead is the government using this month as a training for a very broad, extensive, and very bloody crackdown. We first saw security forces and the military attack Hama on the eve of Ramadan. The following weekend, it was Deir al-Zour in eastern Syria. And now this weekend, it's Latakia, where on Saturday, security forces began attacking. They were joined by Navy ships even yesterday, where gunfire was coming from these ships onto neighborhoods in southern parts of the city. It's quieted down a little bit today, but I think we've seen on successive weekends the government's intention to try to crack down on areas where we've seen the biggest protests. Latakia, of course, had some of the biggest demonstrations on Friday.
And, Anthony, Latakia is a coastal city, which is why there is access from gunboats sitting offshore. What's the symbolism, though, of Bashar Assad's navy sitting offshore with ships shelling his own people in Latakia?
Well, you almost want to say that the gloves are off. This is a government that's willing to deploy as much violence as it sees necessary to try to staunch this uprising. You know, but I say that, I'd also caution that the government could do even more. The days ahead could be even bloodier than we're seeing now. And that's not to understate what's happened already. Hundreds have been killed this month. But I don't think we've seen the full extent of what the government can deploy in terms of violence against these protesters. I think what's important to note is that this government is willing to go after each city where we've seen unrest, where we've seen dissent, where we've seen demonstrations. And again, Latakia saw relatively large demonstrations on Friday. Cities like Hama and Deir al-Zour, which the government has fully retaken, saw smaller protests than they have in the past. So I think what's important about this month is that we're seeing a clear signal from the government that it intends to try to reseize momentum from the protesters, from the demonstrations, and it's willing to go quite far in repressing them.
Indeed, and what we're not seeing is much of a sign that Bashar Assad is concerned about international pressure, which was ratcheted up last week. No apparent impact there. Anthony Shadid, Beirut bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, looking at the situation in Egypt and particularly in Syria. Thanks so much, Anthony.
My pleasure.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.